Back at the depths in which you sank at one point in your life before you got saved, it is easy to come in the house of God with joy. We sang a song, the day of freedom. The Sabbath is the day of freedom. He sets you free today. You don't have to go to work enslaved today. He sets you free today. He sets you free to celebrate today. You know, that's the part that's missing from the Sabbath culture, is the celebration of the Sabbath. Oh, I kept the Sabbath. I've kept it. I've seen it this morning. I think it's just, I'm about to start my 22nd year of keeping the Sabbath. Of course, that just pales in comparison with Brother Jimmy back there, who's kept it all his life. But I lived like a heathen for a long time before I got saved. Come on, y'all. I ain't the only one in here. Come on. How's the old song go? I've drank enough whiskey to float a battleship aground. Come on. Come on. I did all that wild stuff. But the Lord reached out and rescued me. And so when you've truly been set free by Jesus, amen, come on now. Maybe some of y'all had never been set free, but I was set free. And He was so merciful and so loving and so kind, He brought me to Sabbath church when He set me free, amen? And I had to learn how to come in and get quiet. That took some doing. And some of y'all now, you know, a few years back on Saturday, you wasn't so quiet. Amen? Anyway, some of y'all here will probably remember the fifth Sabbath. And I was thinking that the last fifth Sabbath. Some of y'all, you remember the fifth Sabbath. Pastor Ketchum was the first pastor to sign on to help us with fifth Sabbath. So give it up for Pastor Ketchum. He has been our loyal friend as long as we've known him. But the last one we did, we brought in the president of the Bible Sabbath Association, Dr. Sidney Davis. And we had a nice time, and he was into all kind of wonderful things. And he was really researching and writing a book at that time on the Sabbath in Africa. And so he came a couple months later in November to Jackson. And he came in, and he stood up to speak. And he said, "Brethren, I can't keep the Sabbath anymore." And it got real quiet. You could have heard a pin drop. And he waited a long time before he spoke again. And I was getting kind of nervous. Come on now. Hey, I brought to that guy in. He said, "I can't keep the Sabbath anymore." I'm sweating now. And he says, "I've got to celebrate it from now on." And he took us through the children of Israel being released from slavery. See, some of us forget where we came from all too easy. We forgot what the devil had us doing in slavery before we got freed to keep the Sabbath. And so we don't want to come in and celebrate. We just want to be quiet. We're tired. Hey, I'm tired too. I'm a janitor. I work for a living. Amen. Pastor Ketchum works for a living. I've seen him at work. He actually works for a living. So I know he's tired on Sabbath. Come on. I mentioned earlier, sometimes on Friday nights you're so tired you just want to pass out on the couch. I know we have those nights. But nights we're not that tired, we need to celebrate to the Lord. We need to remember what He's freed us from. And so from that time on, I sat there and I thought about that. You know, we need to celebrate the Sabbath. And He took us to some verses, and some of which I'm going to take you to show you where it says that about the Sabbath day. How many of you know that you were given a permanent, eternal, irrevocable sign from God that you know who He is, and it's the Sabbath day? Amen? I'm sure Pastor Ketchum's taught that a lot of times in here. But did you know that same verse says that in order to acknowledge that sign, you have to celebrate it, not just have organized time out. Oh. So anyway, we started thinking about, well, what are we going to do? Because I came out of the Worldwide Church of God, and for us it was TVs off and sit around quiet time. And I'm not making that up. And so we began to think, what do we do to celebrate the Sabbath? Well, let's see, when I was in a worldly person, when we celebrated stuff, we decorate, right? Before I got saved in Sabbath church, you know, I used to keep Christmas, and my mother would decorate the house starting at Thanksgiving. Day after Thanksgiving, the Christmas decorations would go up, and we would decorate stuff, and she would make cookies and all kinds of things. I thought, well, decorations, what do you do in the way of decorations? That's when we got involved with the Messianic congregation and started looking into some of the Jewish stuff, because like I said before, God is very particular about what He allows you to decorate with. And so when you go through the Bible to find out what's legal, lawful from God to decorate, to celebrate, you find out that these are the things that He said to decorate with. And so when you come to Jackson, if you ever do, or one of our feasts or holy days, you'll find that we have banners. We've got a banner showing the Ark of the Covenant. Hey, cool. We get a banner with two priests blowing the silver trumpets like they would do on the holy days and over the offerings, times of rejoicing. Of course, we use a menorah. We have Jewish things because these are the things that you decorate with. we started doing the Arab Shabbat service. But like I said, we kind of spiced it up a little bit. And don't think if you take the handout, you have to follow it verbatim, just the way it's written. You can spice it up some. We found out that on Sabbath, they have the challah bread. And they have sweet wine. Now, this was very interesting because I thought, oh, I can't take communion but once a year on 14th of Nisan, and this ain't it. But then I find out this isn't communion, because the Jews don't do that anyway. The challah bread is to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. The sweet wine, it says, taste and see if the Lord is good. And so they're blessing their God for the abundance He's put. Now, like I said before, we wonder why the Jewish people are so prosperous. Because they're blessing God for what He does. Look, we all have children. There's a lot of wonderful, beautiful children in here. When the children are thankful and grateful and like the stuff you do for them, does it make you want to do it more? When they take what you give them and they throw it in the floor and go run off and play and could care less, does it make you want to do it more? Ah, you're His children and He's no different. So when He gives you something, if you're quick to be grateful, thankful, and bless Him for it, tell others how blessed you are because you got it, then He wants to do it. Hey, they're on to something here. They bless their children every week. Now, I'm in somebody else's congregation, so I can't say this the way I would do it in Jackson. My daddy used to curse me all the time. Sound familiar? Can I get a witness? Hey, I thought that was my first name for a long time. You know what, William? I thought it was my first name. So when that many curses are put on us as children, how much overcoming does it take in a lifetime to overcome that to get to the blessing? You follow what I'm saying? They're blessing their children, and my dad was cursing his. Oh, he didn't know any better. He was just raised in the South. That's the way it's done here, right? Amen. Come on, am I the only one? So now, we've got to learn to put God's blessing on our children as a way of celebrating the Sabbath to Him. You know, that blesses Him when you do that, right? That's why the Jewish people say, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam. It's blessed are You, O Lord my God, King of the universe. They say that over everything. It's called they call it the Baruch for short, but they do the Baruch over everything. They bless God for everything. You know, we're going to have food and so many times, and look, I'm not saying this is the wrong thing to do, but we'll bless, ask God to bless the food, right? And then we wonder why we can't lose any weight. The Jewish people bless God for the food. Hey, now look, it sounds nice. I've been doing it for a while. It's not working. Maybe it's because I eat too much anyway. But, you know, the whole point is we're to celebrate the Sabbath. And so from the time Dr. Davis came, we began this incredible journey of what to do to really kick up our Sabbath observance. And so the four of us that live in our house, we decided we would put together a party fund for the Sabbath. Now, I don't know about y'all, but before I got saved, I was a major party boy. I used to love to party. Come on, can I get a witness in here from somebody? I used to like to party all the time. Hey, no one had to tell me I had to party for the devil on Friday night. It just kind of came natural. Huh? So how come we have to be told to party to God on the Sabbath on Friday night? You think we just, us old partiers would fall right into it. You know what I'm saying? Look, God is about to have a wedding party, and that's why there's so many ex-partiers in the church, because when He throws a party, He knows who to bring. Huh? Come on, y'all. Come on. We know what to do. We know how to shout and holler and carry on. Come on. That's why He's calling us at this time, because He got a party for His son, and He wants folks that know how. So we began to put together a little party fund, and we made sure I would buy the sweet wine and the girls would make challah bread, and we'd have our nicest dinner on Friday night. And as this process was going on, and we would have prayer, we'd sit around in a circle and pray. We'd actually write down things we needed to pray about. You know, you get the prayer list at church and you forget them. Come on, y'all, I ain't alone. We'd get the prayer list, long list up here, and we announce everybody that needs prayer, and then we promptly go home and forget we ever heard any of that. Come on, I ain't the only one that's done that. So we'd actually take the list and pray over it on Friday night. Sit around, hold hands, pray. We'd put on some music and worship for a little bit. And we found that got us fired up for God. Instead of coming into church cold and dead, beat up from the world, we would have this party for God on Friday night. We'd come into church excited, fired up, happy, on fire, eager for the Word of God and eager for the move of His Spirit. So as this process went along, one night everything was late getting prepared. Come on, y'all know you have some bad Fridays and come crashing in the house at sundown. Lucky to get in the house just after dark. and you're all beat up and battered from the world, and you're in a bad attitude and everything. Anyway, we're having to do it late because we had one of those Fridays. So I'm in the TV in the living room, and I thought, well, I'm going to turn on Christian TV. And just see, I never watch TV much or Christian TV at all. Let's just see what's on. And this guy named Perry Stone was on. How many of y'all have heard of Perry Stone? Okay, Brother Stone teaches on Hebrew roots. And this caught my attention because we're trying to learn how to celebrate on the Sabbath. And we want to learn what we can do to really kick it up. You ladies watch Emeril Lagasse? Kick it up 40 notches? So we want to kick it up 40 notches and really have a big time. So Perry's talking about these Hebrew roots things. That's where we learned about the Talit. Our Jewish friends, you know, they hold on to their secrets. They don't want to tell us everything right away. They kind of make us dig it out. But I go to the Perry Stones, and he's teaching on the Talit. Then from Perry Stone, we found Bill Cloud, where he gets his research from. And then Bill Cloud introduced us to Brad Scott, where he gets a lot of research from. So we find these great Hebraic Christian teachers teaching us about the roots of Christianity. How many of you know that the roots of Christianity are Jewish? We may have gotten away from that, but that's where it all started. Jesus is Jewish. You caught what I said. I said is Jewish. He not was Jewish. He is Jewish. When he comes back, he's still going to be Jewish. And if we're going to be a part of the bride of Christ, then we have to learn how to be Jewish. I'm German by background. Jesus is not going to become German if I marry him. Okay? I'm going to become Jewish. And that's a hard thing to get into your mind, especially for us guys. I mean, that's a real roadblock, and I understand it takes a long time to figure out that there's not going to be any of those type of things going on, and that it's okay. It just means that you're going to be close to him. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had some pretty close friends, and I like friends. Y'all like friends? Come on now. We used to have drinking buddies. We know. So anyway, Jesus is going to have those people who are called the bride. They're called the bride because they're close to him and have access to him all the time. Hey, I kind of like that. I kind of like that. That's a cool place to be. So that means I have to become like him, not him become like me. And so then I find out about these wonderful things. So we got a little household menorah, and we started lighting the candles, and we did our worship, and we noticed that there was more Holy Spirit when we did that. Now, it's not a magical thing. Because you light this menorah here does not mean that there's going to be more Holy Spirit. It just means that God is more attentive, that when you light the menorah, you are showing him some respect and some admiration. And every time you show him respect and admiration, there's more of him and less of you. And more of him means you feel his power and his presence and his spirit. So then we came across Tommy Tenney's book. Some of y'all heard of Tommy Tenney. He wrote a wonderful book called The God Chasers. I recommend everybody to get it. And so we began to find out what it is to chase after the presence of the living God. David was a God chaser. And all through the Psalms, he talks about, "My soul pants after thee like a deer for the water. I will chase after you, Lord Most High. I long and seek after my God." And we began to seek him in worship. And we began to find out that the desperateness to our hunger. See, this is where the ladies have a huge advantage over the men. Huge advantage over the men. Because they're born hardwired to understand the words I just said, to desperately hunger after God. Men, we have to learn this. It does not come natural to us. But I tell you what, for those of us who have dared to take the plunge, it's something that you will treasure for all of your life. Because we have to learn how to be desperately hungry for God. The power's in Jesus, friends. The power's in the Lord and His presence. His power's in the Holy Spirit that He pours into us. And you have to be desperately hungry for it. Desperately thirsty for it. That's why it's called water in some places. Water is a symbol for the Holy Spirit. Look, how many of y'all have worked on a hot day and been really thirsty? You can't drink enough. You drink until your stomach won't hold anymore, and you're still just desperately thirsty for more water. I used to lay side in Florida, man, I know. Man, I would be so thirsty that I would drink non-alcoholic, just water, until 9 or 10 o'clock at night trying to rehydrate my body before I would do anything else because I was just so thirsty. That's the way we got to be for Jesus, man. We got to be so hungry and so thirsty for His presence. We've got to be so hungry and so thirsty for the Spirit of the living God that He has to pour it on us. It's in your desperateness. So we begin to find these things. And it was an incredible journey. We talked about Jewish things. Why Jewish things? Because as the book of Hebrews says, our Lord is clearly descended from Judah. Our Lord is descended from Judah. He's Jewish. These are His things. How many of y'all have read in Revelation where it says when the Lord returns on the white charger, His name will be on him, written on his thigh. That's because he's wearing his tallit. That's his name on those zits, be across his thigh. He's Jewish. He kept the Shabbat with the Arab Shabbat service that I handed out to you every time he kept it his whole life. Amen? He doesn't know how to keep it any other way. You bless the Lord your God with rich challah bread and with sweet wine because the Lord is sweet. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is how he does it. This is how he's going to do it. This is the things he wants you to do. Men, you are called to be the priest of your household. It's you who are supposed to administer the blessing of God on your family. But too often we come home and the devil's beat our tails pretty good. And we come home, we're tired. Come on, I know. Now I'm fortunate. Right now I've got a job that allows me Friday off. That's really cool, guys. Got to go to work tomorrow, but Friday off is worth everything. So I don't have to come crashing into the Sabbath anymore. I can be prepared, ready, refreshed to administer the rich blessings of God to my family every Sabbath. That's our job as high priest of our household, is to administer the blessings over our house and to lead every one of the people in our house to God himself. Amen. I said we went to Brit Hadashah. Let's go to Isaiah 58 and get into some deep word. The word of God is so full of what he wants us to do. We read over stuff so much of the time. I've got this wonderful book. We're going to get Pastor Ketchum a copy of it. It's called Living Emblems. And Dr. Gar, a fourth generation evangelist, has taken the time to go through all of these great Jewish things and point out their meanings and their Christian symbolism. These things have more meaning to us than them. You realize that, right? To them, it's a prayer shawl. But they will never feel the power of God's presence the way you do if you have the Holy Spirit living in you. The reason this comes anointed is because you spend time with God wearing this. How many of y'all have heard of the anointing cloth? Give out anointing cloths to those who are sick. Do you realize it comes from the tallit? That doctrine of the anointing cloth comes from the tallit because the tallit of a righteous man, a holy man, a rabbi was known to contain miraculous powers. Why? Because it picks up the anointing when you wear it in the presence of God. And that's why they said that Paul could take handkerchiefs and napkins, again your English mistranslation, and touch people who were sick and they get well. So our whole doctrine of the anointing cloth comes from the tallit. See, we've got so much more meaning for these things than they could ever have. But now, having said that, I want to point out that when he opens their eyes, and you read in Romans 11 that he's closed their eyes on purpose to the fullness of the Gentiles be called. When he opens their eyes, they're going to be able to teach us stuff because they've been using this and we've been neglecting it. Amen? They're going to be able to teach us stuff we could never imagine. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and doing as you please on my holy day. And we get that. Amen. We get that. Of all the things that we've done in all the years, we get that really well. We keep our feet from breaking the Sabbath. We abstain from work. We abstain from the things that we call our pleasures. But then we stop right there and leave the rest of the verse undone. But God put it together in one sentence. We can't stop with the comma. If you call the Shabbat a delight. I don't think God wanted you to lie on the Sabbath. I don't think he revoked this commandment against lying when he said, I want you to call my Sabbath day a delight. I think what he's telling you is make my Sabbath a delight. Make it a delight. Make it a joy. When Friday sundown gets here, man, it ought to be the highlight of your life. Man, it's the Sabbath, man. I can put all that jive away. I am free to celebrate and worship my God. I'm free to pray. I'm free to get in the Bible. He knows you can't get in there all the time during the week, but he stopped your world on Saturday, on Friday night, and he's given you the Sabbath to celebrate him. Lord. See, I think we forget all the great things he's done for us all week. I think that what he did is on Monday, we don't remember on Wednesday. What he does on Wednesday, we don't remember on Friday. And when we get to Sabbath, we just erase everything that's happened all week. We're supposed to call his holy day a delight. Because it's supposed to be a joy and a delight, the highlight of our week. If you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, For so many years I've been in church, we talked about work. Hey, we have to do some of that. I'm not trying to say that we can't be humans. We're humans. We're going to talk about things that go on in our life, and some of it ain't going to be always so good. Amen? But we need to make the shift in turning so much of our Sabbath fellowship to the things that He's done for us during the week. We need to start remembering the blessing He gave us Sunday morning and Monday afternoon and Tuesday at lunch and Wednesday during the week, so that we can come in and praise Him for the things that He's done for us and not just speak idle words. You know, we talk about testimonies sometimes. Our whole fellowship should be a testimony. Now, look, I realize we're all people, and it's not going to be that way all the time, so don't browbeat yourself or somebody else because you talk about something else sometimes on Sabbath. But my point is, make sure you bring in the treasure trove of what God has blessed you with during the week, that you can praise His holy name in the congregation. It's important to do that. And look what He's going to do for you. Then you will find your joy in Yahweh. Do you get your joy in Yahweh? Years ago, I got my joy in a bottle of Jack Daniels. Do you get your joy in Yahweh? Do you get your joy in the Spirit of God? Man, there's a reason why I jump and dance. I'm feeling the joy of my Lord. I'm feeling the power of His presence. She'll tell you, I got up this morning, I was hurting really bad. I could barely hobble around and walk. But when I get in the presence of God, the pains go away. And I feel the anointing come on. And I get all fired up and excited. And I want to shout praises to my God. Come on, y'all. Don't y'all feel that? Because if I honor Him by celebrating on His Sabbath, He's going to honor me by... Look, there's a lady right now at Brett Hadashah. They're probably finished their service about now. She's in her 80s and she teaches the Messianic dance. She's beset with arthritis all week long, but God frees her on Friday night. She believed the word of God that she set free on the Sabbath. And she dances like the 20-year-olds during the Messianic dance in the congregation, because He frees her from the pain to serve Him. See, if we'll start celebrating the Sabbath, if we'll make it a joy and a delight, if we'll make it the high point of our life, if our whole life will revolve Sabbath to Sabbath, then we'll start having these blessings. You want to see why? Let's finish up the verse. You'll find your joy in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride upon the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of Yahweh has spoken. His word will not return to Him empty. His word will accomplish that which He sets it out to do. If you'll take a hold of this promise from God to celebrate Him on His Sabbath, to honor Him, and to make it a delight and a joy, He'll fill your life with the Holy Spirit of fire and power. You'll feel the anointing of God when Pastor Ketchum preaches the word. I've been here and heard your pastor preach. You've probably got one of the best pastors in this area. A fine man of God who rightly divides the word of truth. But do you feel it when He speaks? Do you feel the Spirit quicken in your heart? You should. You should. He's giving you good stuff. You've got to celebrate the Sabbath. You've got to get excited for the things of God. Come on now. I guarantee you, if I took y'all to a UT football game this afternoon, y'all would be jumping and shouting in the stands. Can't get some of y'all to move in church. Maybe tap a toe. Come on. We went down to Honky Tonk this evening. I'd get you to move. Come on. Huh? Why aren't we shouting and jumping for God? Why aren't we loving Him? You know, we've got to show Him our love and devotion, our excitement and joy in the service, in the congregation. That's why we have exciting music. Because we want you to have a chance to show your excitement for God, your love for God, your passion for God. You know, David was a man of passion. He was a man of passion. Now, got a lot of married couples in here. I bet you your wedding night was pretty passionate. We got to have that same passion in the Holy Spirit for God. We've got to learn how to turn on that Holy Spirit inside of us. Jesus said the Holy Spirit in your heart will be a well of living water. We've got to learn how to get the cap off of that thing, because it's an artesian well, not a well with a bucket and a crank. We've got to learn to let the Holy Spirit explode out of us and into our surroundings. Because that's how you get the power of God in the service. When y'all will do that, that's when unbelievers who walk in will feel the power of God and hit their face and say, "Oh, God is among you. I repent for my sins." Huh? But if we're not opening up the Spirit of God in the service, they walk in and think, "Nothing's going on here. I think I'll just leave." We talked about the word Hallel. How many of y'all have read about during the days of King Saul, they were fighting the Philistines, and it said they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the camp. And there was a great tumult, and the Philistines could hear it miles away, the yelling and the shouting of the men of Israel when the Ark came into camp. That word is Hallel. They heard the Hallel. We're supposed to be having such a good time in here at church, the sinners want to beat the door down to find out what y'all are doing in there. Amen? A joy and a delight. Not an organized timeout. Not a period of inactivity. It's supposed to be a period of celebration. We've got to remember to keep it holy. And holy includes the dancing, the banners, the shouting, the making noise, the blowing of the shofars. All of these things are active things. The Sabbath is for fun and enjoyment of His ways. When we're to enjoy worshiping in the Spirit, we had the altars filled here. That's so wonderful. That is so precious. Brother, I got a word from the Lord for you. Just remind me after church. It is so precious to enjoy that worship with your face to the ground. Feeling the power of the Holy Spirit move in you. Yes, there'll be emotions. You'll cry sometimes. You'll cry profusely sometimes. That's the power of God moving on you, man. Don't despise that. Sometimes you'll be so joyous you've got to go to the back because you want to laugh and shout and jump. Because the Lord is pouring His joy into you. And there's all ranges of expression in between. You know, God made you emotional. We're just supposed to use them at the right time. For the right reason. You know, I think through the years we've covered the truth part. We're supposed to worship in spirit and in truth. And I think we got the truth part covered pretty well. But I think we have omitted. I think we have failed to worship by the Spirit of God. And we've tried to keep things too quiet, too tame. God did not call you to a tame religion. We've made it tame over the years. And there is a time for quietness. I'm not trying to say there's not a time for quietness. That's why we always do quiet songs in the middle. There's a time for quietness. There's a time to get on your face. But you know what? If you don't praise Him with the joy, you can't get in the house. How many of y'all realize that? How many of y'all have seen a picture of the tabernacle and the surroundings, the courtyard, the temple and areas? There's a wall around the temple to keep everybody out. Until you praise Him, you will enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. If you don't do that, you're not going in. If you don't get in the courtyard, you can't get up in the house. Come on, y'all. Huh? Then there's a time to lay on the altar of sacrifice and give it up to the Lord. Amen. We don't live perfect lives. I got news for all y'all. I sin as much as y'all do. Come on. We're in church. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm a sinner. I have things to repent for. But after you repent, you get washed in the water of the Word and you get to go into the house. Man, don't come to church and just come up to the altar. Go on in the house of His presence. You've got to go in there. The showbread's in the house, y'all. The menorah of the Holy Spirit is in the house. The altar of prayer is in the house. The good things are in the house. Always press in till you get into the house. These are active things. These are powerful things. You know, it's got to be about that close one-on-one personal relationship with Yeshua. Do you hear His voice every Sabbath you come to church? Do you hear His voice every Sabbath when you come to church? Do you hear His voice? Have you ever heard His voice? Do you know His voice from the other voices in your mind? You see, this is the purpose of having Presence Church, so that you can learn to hear His voice, that you can learn to discern His voice from the others you'll hear in your mind. And you will learn to come to the altar and get a fresh word from the Lord. Y'all ain't hearing me.
I heard you, brother.
He poured the manna out. And you can get fresh manna every Sabbath. Don't you know that the showbread on the table of showbread was put out fresh every Sabbath day? 12 loaves fresh. If you come tomorrow, it's day old bread. It's day old anointing. The fresh anointing is on Shabbat. And here you are on the Sabbath in the house of God. Come every week for your fresh manna. Your fresh word from God. This is how you fight your battles. This is how you overcome your problems. This is how you get the zeal and the fire of the living God in your belly to go out into community and evangelize.
Hallelujah.
It's not Pastor Ketchum's job to evangelize. It's yours.
Amen.
It's your job to go spread the good news. And then you bring them in the house so that Pastor Ketchum can show them how to be disciples of Yeshua.
Amen.
Isaiah 56. Verse 6. God is going to tell us what He wants of us. He's going to tell us what He expects of us. You know, the Jewish people think they're the only remnant. You know why they think that, don't you? Because they've preserved the Sabbath day. They've preserved the Torah of the living God. While the backsliding 10 tribes in the northern kingdom went away, they gave up Sabbath first thing. They lost their identity. They don't know who they are. And you're sitting here in the audience. You didn't know that, did you? Y'all are the descendants of the house of Joseph. You are the descendants of the house of Joseph. They've kept your things intact, and it's time for you to take them back. I heard one Jewish rabbi say, "We can't keep the West Bank. It belongs to the tribe of Manasseh. It's yours." They can't keep the West Bank because it belongs to you. Wow. So, as lost tribes who've lost their way, look what it says in verse 6. "And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve Him." Foreigners. We've become foreigners to God, the God of Israel, because we've given up Israel. We want to have a Christianity without Israel. But you are Israel.
Amen.
The southern tribes are called Judah. The Jewish people are known as the house of Judah. You are known as the house of Israel. "Foreigners bind themselves to the Lord to serve Him, to love the name of Yahweh and to worship Him. All who keep the Sabbath day." You want to know how to get tied back to the Hebrew God? You want to know how to get tied back to the Creator God? It's in the Sabbath day that you get tied back to the Creator God. You can't know Him any other way, because it says in 6 days God made the heavens and the earth, but the seventh day He consecrated it and made it holy. If you don't keep His Sabbath, you can't know Him. He can know you, but you won't know Him. "Without desecrating, who hold fast to My covenant, these I will bring to My holy mountain and will give them joy in My house of prayer." Have you caught a hold of Him? Have you taken a hold of the zeitz on the tallit of one Yeshua Messiah? Because He promised if you did that, and if you would keep His Sabbath, He would give you joy in His house of prayer. Joy in His house of prayer. Joy in His house of prayer. Come on, do you feel some joy today in His house of prayer? The music is just a medium. It allows you to get a little crazy and nobody will be looking at you. Huh? Shout a little hallelujah once in a while and nobody's really paying attention because we've got the music up real loud. It lets you stay anonymous in the crowd. That's why we do it. You realize that, right? We don't have to have the music. We'd all shout and get crazy and we'd think we're a bunch of wild folks. But if we have the music loud enough, you can be anonymous. And on the Day of Atonement, we do the same thing, except we do all quiet music because it's a time to get quiet before the Lord. Because the Day of Atonement is the day in the Holy Days that shows Jesus putting His blood on the Ark of the Covenant in heaven to make atonement for all mankind. So we're quiet before Him on that day. But we have the music up good and loud, so if you get a little carried away in prayer, it doesn't bother anybody else. Amen? A lot of crying on that day. I tell you. Tell my wife anyway, don't look for this. You can't have it. Other times, you know, I'll let her have my handkerchief if she's crying. You can't have my handkerchief on atonement because I'm going to be crying and I'm going to need my handkerchief. Why am I going to be crying? Because I know who I am. I know who I am. I know what I've done in my life. I know what I have to seek forgiveness for. And I say that not always going back to my past and my testimony. Sometimes I'm talking about the day before atonement. Come on, y'all. Y'all act like I'm the only one that does this stuff. I know y'all do it too. Come on. "Joy in My house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices." Well, we don't do burnt offerings and sacrifices. So what does that mean to you? When you cry out to God, you will be heard in His house of prayer. He will accept your petitions and your cries. Come on now. We've got a lot of young children. You can't tell me you haven't cried out to the Lord when they got sick. Come on, you can't tell me when they hit that 105 degree fever, you weren't on your face at begging God for their life. Come on. Even though my children are grown, I haven't forgotten those days. You know when they go ride that tricycle and it goes darting out in front of that car, you're not crying out to God in that split second for His mercy and protection. Come on, we've all done this stuff. He will give us His joy, exuberant joy to worship Him with in His house. When's the last time you felt that exuberant joy? Come on, for some folks it was the last time you were in the world. But He wants you to have that same exuberant joy in the house of God. He called you because you had that and expects you to use it for Him now. Huh? The devil is a liar and he's a thief. He stole the music. That music wasn't his. I know I'm not the only Skinner fan in here. That music wasn't the devil's. He stole that from God. But you know, I read in my Bible, the resurrection of the dead. The boys are going to be coming back to life and the devil won't be around to get in the way. And they're going to be able to use that talent to give it up for God. Will we be exuberant when they're playing praises to God? Come on, y'all. Amen. We need to get exuberant right now in praise to God. We need to come in and have Sabbath church like we mean what we say. We tell these people out here it's the day to worship God. It's the day the power of God is poured out. It's the day that's sanctified with the presence of the Holy Spirit in the time. And we come in and have church like we don't mean it. Do we mean what we tell these people? We need to come in and have Sabbath church. That's the most exciting, exuberant church anybody's ever seen. We need to be so excited and red hot for Jesus that they feel it when they walk in the door. Amen. Psalm 92. I've got one of those Bibles that's got the song titles and the little words to the director of music underneath them. Psalm 92. And the title in my Bible is A Song for the Sabbath Day. A Song for the Sabbath Day. Wow, that's nice. A Song for the Sabbath. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Now, I don't know what these instruments are. I don't think the translators knows what these instruments are. They just put whatever they could make up in there because they don't really know. But I can tell you this. There were 100 Levites singing in the temple of God. There were 100 on shofars. And there were more than that on the other instruments. So I can tell you right now, Mount Zion is a mountain surrounded by valleys. When they gave up praise to God, you could hear it for miles around. And I'm going to take you to verse and show you that. They could hear the praise of God for miles around. Can they hear it out in the front street when we're giving it up for the Lord? Huh? Are the neighbors complaining yet? Have the folks at the ball field had to stop the game? What's going on over there? Then we're not giving it up for God nearly enough because we're supposed to give it up for God till the people around have got to come over to find out what all that commotion's all about. We're supposed to have such exuberant praise for God and such exuberant time and joy giving it up for the Lord that the people around want to know what's going on over there. You know, they might just be carried away by the Holy Spirit to come in and start joining you. Huh? For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. Does He make you glad by His deeds? The deeds He's done for you this week, did they make you happy? How happy did they make you? Well, I'm kind of happy, Lord. Come on now. UT scored a touchdown, we wouldn't be happy. Oh, wasn't that great? He caught the ball. We got a score, yeah. All right. Huh? Look, I watch political conventions during the elections. They get up, they cheer their people. We know they're lying. We know they're stealing. We know they're cheating. We know both parties are selling you out to the enemies of the country around about. But they cheer those people. Do we cheer Pastor Ketchum when he stands up to give you the very Word of God? No, we really don't cheer Pastor Ketchum. We ought to be cheering Pastor Ketchum. Y'all know your pastor real well. This man has served God his whole life. This man has devoted his life to the service of God in this hall and before this hall. He spends countless hours studying the Bible and praying for each one of you. And I don't know him half as well as I would like to know him, but I know that just from the few conversations we've had. how much he loves everybody in this house, how much he wants to serve God by serving you, how much of his life he's devoted to you. Yeah, he deserves cheers. I got a chance after Thanksgiving to watch the movie Amazing Grace. How many of y'all like that hymn? I love that hymn, Amazing Grace. Didn't used to like that hymn until I read a story about the man who wrote it, John Newton. He was a slave trader. He used to run those terrible slave ships where all those people died in the most horrendous, cruel conditions that modern man has ever placed on anybody. And they had a major storm at sea, and they all thought they were going to die. And the Lord met him out there on the ocean, and he saw what manner of man he really was. He saw what he was, trading slaves and subjecting those people to the most barbarous cruelty modern history has ever known. And he wrote that psalm, that hymn, as a measure of the repentance that he had. But at the end of the movie's about the man in England who moved Parliament over the course of his lifetime to finally abolish the slave trade. And at the end of it, you know, the vote, a few people clapped, they were all happy. And then one old member of Parliament stood up who'd helped this young man through so many years. And he said, you know, when Napoleon comes home, he will come home to a triumphal procession. They will cheer him. And yet he's a man of war, killed many people just for the sake of conquering. Just for the sake of conquering. There wasn't a necessary war that Napoleon had to fight. It wasn't like France was attacked and they were defending the homeland the way our brave southern soldiers did. What I'm talking about, Napoleon went out on a war to conquer. And because he was a conquering hero, he received a hero's welcome when he came home. He said, but this man right here, William Wilberforce, will not receive anything. And yet he has done something far more outstanding by abolishing the slave trade than Napoleon will ever do. Pastor Ketchum has led a lifetime of service to God. He has done far more than most of the generals who have led our armies to victory have ever done. And the people who deserve the praise and the accolades and the hero's welcome and the cheers are men like Pastor Ketchum who've devoted their life to serving the people of God. But you know, when you're cheering Pastor Ketchum, you're really cheering Jesus. Now you think about what Jesus did for you. You think about where he rescued you from. You think about the things that you've gone through in your life and how he has borne you through every one of them in his arms. Tenderly caring for you when you were hurt. Picking you up when you were down. Cheering with you when you were victorious. Who should we be cheering in this place more than Jesus? You see, we cheer the wrong things in life. We need to be looking at those generals and thankful that they brought our boys through to victory. When we come in the house of God, we ought to be exuberant in our praise of the one who conquered death and gave you life, brought you out of the pit, made you somebody in the kingdom of God, put the Holy Spirit in you, and gave you life ever living inside yourself. Leviticus 23. You know, there are times to be exuberant, to celebrate, to really focus our life around them. Part of what got me ran out of one church was the fact that we wanted to start celebrating more. You know, I looked at why we lose our children in church. Got a lot of wonderful children in here. It's so cool. In a lot of the churches I've come from, we can't keep them. They leave. Why do they leave? Because the world looks better than we look. They see the lights, the glamour, the glitz. They're celebrating and having a good time. We're coming up to that season. And yet we come to the holy days and it's quiet and tame and we don't do much. This is upside down. They ought to be quiet and tame because they're celebrating lies. We ought to be so excited and so exuberant and so passionate for the good things God has given us that they are like, why do we want to keep believing these old lies when the truth is so much more fun? But we got to make the truth fun or they're never going to see that. Leviticus 23 verse 1. Yahweh said to Moshe, speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed feasts. This is the time to have a good time. This is the time to celebrate. This is when you break out the bucks, and this is when you get the sweet wine. This is when you have a good time. This is when you dance and sing and party to the Lord. The appointed feast of the Lord, which you're to proclaim, is sacred assemblies. The old King James renders this holy convocations, because the Hebrew says you got to show up. I didn't write this. God didn't say this to me. He said it to Moses. Moses wrote it down. He said, you got to show up. What's the first one in verse 3? There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a sacred assembly. Do not do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord. That doesn't mean don't do anything. It just means quit going to work and celebrate it. This is the day at sundown when all of the men in the house, the ladies light the Shabbat candles, and the dad begins to administer the grace of God in his household and the blessing of God in his household by blessing his wife, by blessing his children, by blessing God for it all, leading his family in prayer, teaching his family the words of God. You know, in Deuteronomy 6, right after the Shema, it says, and you shall take these words of mine and you shall teach them to your children when you walk by the way, when you sit down at dinner, and when you lie down to go to sleep. Dads, it's our responsibility to make sure our children stay in the faith. It's not anybody else's. And so on Friday nights, even before I knew how to celebrate the Sabbath, I would take the little storybook Bibles and I would put a daughter in each arm, one on each leg, and I would read to them the Word of God. And then we would have fun. We would have the playtime. Come on, y'all know what it's like getting the floor and the kids jump all over, hop on pop. I mean, they love that. But we had to get in the Word first. Amen? Then we could play and have fun. It's good to have play and have fun. It doesn't say don't play and have fun. It says honor me first and keep it holy to the Lord as a feast day. Sabbath is not supposed to be a fast day. It's supposed to be a feast day, a day of enjoyment and joy, fellowship, food, fun. You know, the Lord likes to eat and have a good time. Don't you like to eat and have a good time? Did anybody skip Thanksgiving this week? I think I'll pass this year. No, man, we got in with it, didn't we? Come on now. Come on, man, when I was y'all's age, I could really get in on it. I wore it out in them days. Now, we might have some secular holidays like 4th of July, Thanksgiving, birthdays, and some things like that. But you know what? Our life must revolve from holy day to holy day, from Sabbath to Sabbath. This is playing out the plan of God for the salvation of all mankind. How much do we value the plan of God? Pretty much because I wasn't born righteous. I was born a sinner, and I was a major duty sinner, and I used to... I was an evangelical sinner. Come on, I used to try to get other people to sin with me. Come on now. Now, we need to, that's why we're supposed to be evangelists now, because, see, we used to evangelize for the devil back in the day. Now we got to evangelize for Christ now. Come on now. Come on. I thought Jack was my brother. Huh? Hey, there was a time he was, but anyway, that's another story. Look, we're supposed to have such a good time on the holy days and on the Sabbath that the heathen around us want to get in on it. We do Passover over 2 days. Of course, Passover, we do it the same time y'all do. And then the next night, it's called the night to be much observed, because right there in the old King James, it says this is a night to be much observed throughout your generations forever. So on the 14th, the same as you do, we commemorate the death of the Lord Jesus. And we added some Hebrew things to celebrate with it. But the next night is another night altogether. It's called Deliverance from Egypt. How many of y'all spent a little time in Egypt? The Egypt of sin and death. The next night is called Deliverance from Egypt. Well, you know, we kick it up pretty good. We have catered meals both nights. And after this meal, on the night to be much observed, we play an hour of the most wide open rejoicing music we have. The last song we did would just be like the early stages. We play really, really rejoicing. So we've lost how to rejoice in this country. So you play rejoicing music overseas, they understand how to rejoice. Hey, rejoice! They all, you know, but we're like, I don't know about that. We play an hour of it. We were in one room at the Comfort Inn, and the big ballroom was taken up by a secular birthday party. They brought everybody in limousines. They had a DJ. They had... well, not quite as big a sound equipment as we had, but, you know, we're kind of overboard. They had a party in there. We had a party to the Lord in the little comfort room. We were so loud and we were so rowdy and we were having such a good time, they kept peeking in the door to find out what was going on in there. Their party wasn't as fun as our party, baby. They were just celebrating to the devil. We were celebrating Jesus freed me from my sins. Yeah! That's a witness. That's a witness. Exodus 31. I'm going to show you that verse I promised you earlier. You have permanent, eternal, irrevocable sign from God that you know the true God. Not just a God, the true God. And I'm going to show you this. Exodus 31, verse 12. Then Yahweh said to Moshe, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. And we stop right there. We stop right there. God's making you holy, man. He's put His Spirit in you. You're holy now. But don't stop here. There's a blessing if we keep reading on. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath must be put to death. But look at this. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it. Celebrating it. You've got to celebrate the Sabbath. Did you know you're commanded that? That's a command in the Bible. To celebrate the Sabbath. We've got to celebrate the Sabbath. It's not enough for you to quit working on the Sabbath. You've got to celebrate it for the generations to come. The phrase translated generations to come is ha-olam. And it means forever. To celebrate the Sabbath as opposed to just keeping the Sabbath is forever. Forever, y'all. And it will be a sign. That celebration that you do is a sign between you and God forever that you know that He is the Creator that you worship. It's a celebration. It's not just abstaining from work. It's not an organized time out. It's a time to come before God and to celebrate Him for all of His goodness with exuberance and joy. Amen. Nehemiah 8. And verse 10. They've come back from exile. They're rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. And they've come to the seventh month. The seventh month has a lot of holy days in it. Just like the seventh day is a holy day. The seventh month has a lot of stuff in it. Celebrate most of the seventh month. And they've come to the day known as the Day of Trumpets or Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpet Blasts. And so they're keeping this day for the first time in 70 years of exile. And Ezra has been reading the law. And they haven't heard the Torah much in the last 70 years of exile. And they're weeping as they hear the words of the Torah. And Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. Some of you have eat the fat and drink the sweet. Hey, festive food is made with fat, right? Just watch your wife make potato salad sometime and you'll see. There's a lot of fat in the festive food. You're to go out and have festive food, the good stuff. Drink the sweet drinks today. Have a good time. Send some to those who have nothing prepared. So we have potlucks because we know that some people don't have much. We want everybody to come and eat. Amen. It's a time to celebrate. If you lack, that's fine. My overage will take care of your lack. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, how do you get through those bad times? How do you get through the time when you can't make the mortgage payment? How do you get through the time when your kids are sick? How do you get through the time when you and your spouse are arguing and fighting? Come on, like I don't have that. We've been married, 26 years? There's been some arguing and fighting. Anybody comes up here and tells you they don't argue and fight and is married is lying to you. We'll have an altar call for liars. Huh? How do you get through these times? The joy of the Lord is your strength, man. How about joy in the Lord? How about your joy in the Lord? So you're supposed to come to Sabbath and have the joy in the Lord from the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, some of y'all never even been drunk on the Holy Spirit. Y'all have never been drunk on the Holy Spirit? You know, God calls those people who have a proclivity to go out and use substances for a reason. Because He knows you have a dependency and He wants you to switch it from the spirits of the devil to His Holy Spirit. There's a hole in you, man, and the only way to fill that hole is to pour, let Him pour His Spirit into that hole. And the reason that the devil got you on substances is because he was trying to numb you down where you wouldn't take the Holy Spirit. He knows you're going to tie up with it if you get a chance. So he wants to keep you numbed down with alcohol and drugs so you don't go and get the well of living water. Amen? You need to get drunk in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come on now. He said baptize you in the Holy Spirit, right? Now we all teach what baptism is, full immersion. You're supposed to be fully immersed in the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to have a good time. Deuteronomy 12. And we'll try to wrap this up. I know everybody's hungry. You know, I've waited a long time. Deuteronomy 12, verse 7. There in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice. He wants you to rejoice. These are commandments to rejoice. Rejoicing. We lose track of that sometimes. Drop down to verse 12. And there rejoice before the Lord your God. Rejoice. He wants you to rejoice. And down to the end of verse 18. This is the same chapter, y'all. Look, how many of you know God doesn't say all that stuff to hear Himself talk? When He repeats Himself multiple times, it's because you need to really pay attention to this. Rejoice. He wants you to rejoice. And you are to rejoice before the Lord your God in everything you put your hand to. We're supposed to rejoice. We're supposed to sing and dance with excitement. We're supposed to praise loudly, so loudly, in fact, people will come running to see what's going on. I'm going to show you the verse I promised you in Ezra. Ezra chapter 3. This one tried to hide from me, but I was just persistent. Ezra chapter 3 and verse 10. They've come back, and they're rebuilding the temple of the living God. And they're laying the foundation. I want you to see how they lay this foundation. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments with the trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals. Maybe you all heard cymbals. They are not quiet. Took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love to Israel endures forever. We actually have a praise song by that that says that in the name. Make sure we play it every holy day really loud because we're supposed to do that. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord. They gave a great shout of praise. They gave a great hallel to the Lord. Because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the elder priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while others shouted for joy. And no one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sounds of weeping, because the people made so much noise. They made a lot of noise. And the sound was heard far away. It carried. See, when we come in to praise God, we need to make so much noise the people can hear it outside. We make noise at UT football games, right? So much noise the opposing team can't even hear the play calls, right? Come on. We make noise for things that are trivial. We need to start making some noise for the things that are real. Are not we rebuilding the temple of the Lord's praise? Is not He rebuilding the temple of the living God in your heart where the Spirit of the Lord dwells? Huh? Then why are we so quiet? Why are we so quiet in church? This is the place that ought to be loud. We're supposed to make so much noise, everybody else wants to come and run to their freedom. We're free. We keep the Sabbath. We have achieved freedom in the Holy Spirit of God. We've been saved for our sins. We ought to be so excited and so exuberant, we can't contain it. Now let's close it out in John. Because the best reason to celebrate, the best reason to be exuberant, the best reason to give a shout of praise is because of the presence of the Lord. Do you feel the presence of the Lord in here right now? Has He quickened into your heart and soul during the message? If not, He didn't answer my prayer because I begged for it pretty hard. We're supposed to have the presence of God You know, I do that every Sabbath. I pray intensely during the worship that God will quicken His Word in your heart. If you hear it from me, you'll forget it and won't care. If you hear it from Him, you'll remember it forever and it'll be important to you. Because a word from Him is worth everything. Amen? John 14, verse 19. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Have you seen Jesus? He just said you'll see Him. See, we don't want to believe the Bible is literal. We've got to believe the Bible. There's four levels of Hebrew interpretation. The first one is literal. If you don't believe the words for what they say, you can't get to the other three levels up in the Word of God. He said, the world will not see Him, and they have not. But He said, but you will see me. The seeing comes through the Spirit of God in the manifest presence in the meeting. Amen. How do you have the manifest presence in the meeting? You start with the exuberant praise and the joy. You start with the celebrating the Sabbath. Then when you get on your face in the intimate worship and you open up the well of the Holy Spirit inside you, you'll begin to hear His voice. As you keep working this process, you're not working Him, you're working you. You realize that, right? You're not working Him up to come to you. You're working yourself up to where you can see and hear Him. The problem is not in Him, it's in your mud. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. That's the Shema. On the day you see Him, you will realize that He is in the Father and that He is in you and that the Father is in you and that you are Echad. Then you'll sing the Shema with a little different tune. Then at times you'll sing the Shema with tears running down your face that I have touched my God and I have seen my God. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one that loves me. We got that part. But we always stop right there. He who has my commands and obeys them loves me. And we stop. It doesn't stop. The verse doesn't stop. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. We have a song about that. Fields of Grace. No one can take my Father's love away from me. And I too will love Him and show myself to Him. The manifest presence of God is the best reason you will ever have to celebrate His Sabbath day at home and in the house of God. And I'm telling you now that if you will go through the gates as we sang today, and you will start this process of celebrating the Sabbath instead of just keeping it, you will see your God. You will feel the manifest presence of God in this service. The words that Pastor Ketchum preaches to you will have more relevance and meaning in your life. He gets them lying on his face in the presence of God, but you have to be prepared to receive them. He prepared to give them. You have to get yourself in that God place to receive from God what he gave Pastor Ketchum. If you're not preparing your heart and mind to receive, they're just words. They're just words. If we'll get serious about rejoicing on the Sabbath, if we'll get intent and focused in the worship, if we'll fan the Holy Spirit in us in the flame, then we'll experience the manifest presence of Yeshua, our Messiah, in the service, and no one will have to explain to you why to get exuberant and full of joy. How do y'all normally close the service out, Pastor? You want to come up and do that?